Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastu Ma Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 33. If even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed? Right, so one sees is that even someone comes in contact with the Lord, whatever it is, yeah, by one's endeavor, by force, by action, whatever it is, one gets so much benefit. So let alone those who are actually striving to develop pure and alloyed devotion for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So the point is that devotional service, what's connected to Krishna, is so good. Then on top of that, then above that, then it gets even better. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not that, oh, because this is good, you don't need to do that. No, this is good, that's even more good. Right? Srila Prabhupada comments. The process for receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhaktya. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of the devotees. Bhagavan bhaktya hridi sthitaha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. But, you know, you have to respect someone who's growing so big that you're choking. it has to. So the point is that you can't think of Krishna unless there's some devotion, and thinking of Krishna means there'll be devotion. So the two will... So by Krishna's grace, then all this can go on.
Right? So Maharaj, if we are a devotee or a demon, they think about Krishna. So only the people who are between, they don't think about Krishna.
Unfortunate.
Yes.
They're the Manda Sumanda Matayo. Yes. You know, it's just a matter of that's why then the Krishna Conscious Movement is about making people fortunate.
Yes.
That's what it's for, is that one goes out, one tries to benefit others that would not necessarily come in contact.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then by that makes their fortune. So that's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I heard one of the devotees, he quoted from somewhere, said that Agasura, when all the gopas, they were getting in, like the whole mood, he got attracted. He was...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the devotion.
That's the devotion. Yeah. Yeah. Sri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about those pastimes of heart, in the pastimes of Krishna, where did the heart come from? Yeah. Who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind, and again inquired from Sukadeva Goswami to hear about those pious subjects. Right? So, Sukadev Goswami was speaking up to here, that's where then he ended, and then Parikit Maharaj spoke. So in between the two, then Suta Goswami's bringing in this point.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That he became nicely situated because the Lord had appeared in his heart, so then meditating upon that same Lord, he became nicely situated. You know, like that. Verses 144 to... No, 144. How do you get that? 441 to 44. Maharaj Parikit wonders why the story was untold for a year. Maharaj Parikit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present? Right, because the rule in grammar is that if it's just immediately been done, you still talk about it in the present, even though it's past. Like you say you're reading, someone walks in the room. So when they walk in the room, you stop reading.
Yes.
And then they ask you, what are you doing? You say, I'm reading.
Yes.
As in the present. Technically, it's in the past. But anything that's just happening, you talk about it in the present. But 1 year going by, that's not, you can't call that as present, right? That's stretching the grammatical rules a bit too far, right? Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Kaumara age. How then, during his Pauganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently, right? Because Pauganda means six on, right? So during the age of five, so it said 1 year later. So it was, you know, that difference. So as a Kumara, he performed the pastime, but as Pauganda, it was explained. Right? O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this happened. I am very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna, right? Because otherwise, the same day it happened, that day they're talking about it, they go home, they tell all the family members, they tell everything, so it all happens like that. Right? My lord, my spiritual master, although that we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you, the nectar of pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada comments, the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very confidential. It is not ordinarily possible to hear such activities unless one is very, very fortunate. Parikit Maharaj placed himself as Kshatra Bandavaha, which means the lowest of the Kshatriyas. The qualities of the Kshatriya are described in Bhagavad Gita. To rule. A Kshatriya is not supposed to rule over a Brahmana. Qualities that are described in Bhagavad Gita, although the general quality of the Kshatriya is Ishwara Bhava, the tendency to rule, a Kshatriya is not supposed to rule over a Brahmana. Thus, Maharaj Parikit regretted that he had wanted to rule over the Brahmanas and had therefore been cursed. He considered himself the lowest of the Kshatriyas. Danam Ishwara Bhavas Cha Kshatram Karma Svabhava Jam. Bhagavad Gita 18:43. There is no doubt that Maharaj Parikit had the good qualities of a Kshatriya, but as a devotee he presented himself with submissiveness and humility as the lowest of the Kshatriyas. Right? So that he's presenting that aspect because that's always be meek and humble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sixth of the symptoms of surrender.
Yes.
So we see is he's actually on a very advanced platform. Right? Because it's not, you know, he's just joking here. He's just, this is how he's speaking. And we notice as we've gone into the tenth canto, he's brought this mood up more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Before this, he didn't so much talk about, you know, his spiritual master and the greatest of yogis and how, yeah, that hasn't, before has been much more, less poetic presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more of just a practical question and answer, like that kind of thing. Remembering his act of wrapping a dead serpent around the neck of a Brahmana, a student and disciple has the right to ask the guru about any confidential service. And it is the duty of the guru to explain these confidential matters to his disciple, right? But for the confidential understanding, then there has to be the confidential attitude, right?
Yes.
So he's inquiring, but it has to have that attitude.
Yes.
Right? So just because if one says, see, I can ask about anything, but you have to have the attitude that goes along with that question. If you just ask and don't have the proper attitude, then that's not considered good. Sudha Goswami said, O Shaunaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami in this way, Sukadeva Goswami, immediately remembering subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the action of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna Katha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Sukadeva Goswami regained external consciousness because of the loud chanting of the Lord's name by Narada, Vyasa, and others present there with great effort. Right? Because otherwise, he's going to stop talking and he could go into ecstasy who knows how long. Then where will the benefit come from for Parikshit Maharaj? Right? So that's why he sees, and here it's just remembering Krishna and these leelas. So that's why you see is directly he never mentions Radharani. Because otherwise, if you went into ecstasy there, you don't know when that will correct itself. And we only have 7 days here. Right? Conclusion. Pratigya. If even only once, even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna. Hetu. The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are all created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. Udaharna. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasura, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving Swarupi Mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. The process for receiving the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described here. Yet Pada Pankaja, Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:22-39. Simply by thinking of Krishna, one can attain him very easily. Krishna is also described as having his lotus feet always within the hearts of his devotees. Bhagavan Bhaktya Hridistitaha. In the case of Agasura, one may argue that he was not a devotee. The answer to this is that he thought of Krishna for a moment with devotion. Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya. Without devotion, one cannot think of Krishna. And conversely, whenever one thinks of Krishna, one undoubtedly has devotion. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed. So, important verse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:12-11. Itam satam brahma shukanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaiva netena maya shritanam naradha rakena sakam vijahru krita punya punja. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who, for ordinary persons, is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? Mm-hmm. Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, chapter 13. The stealing of the boys and calves by Brahma. Pratibhya. One should not try to overcome Krishna. Rather, instead of endeavoring to surpass him, we should surrender to him. Adhyaya Prakashita. This chapter describes Lord Brahma's attempt to take away the calves and cowherd boys. It also describes the bewilderment of Lord Brahma and finally the clearance of his illusion. Although the incident concerning Agasura had been performed 1 year before, when the cowherd boys were 5 years old, when they were 6 years old, they said, "It happened today." What happened was this. After killing Agasura, Krishna, along with his associates, the cowherd boys, went for a picnic within the forest, right? Because you're changing activities. They were playing, and then you need a change, right? So then now they have lunch. Then they'll go on with some other activities, right? So this all happened. This was just the before lunch demon, right? The The calves, being allured by green grasses, gradually went far away, and therefore Krishna's associates became a little agitated and wanted to bring back the calves. Krishna, however, encouraged the boys by saying, "You take your tiffin without being agitated. I shall go find the calves." And thus the Lord departed. Right? Because it can go on. If Krishna goes, Balaram's still there. As we said, he's the main one in the Sakya Rasa. Right? Krishna's there. He's the one above that. But it can go on even if Krishna's not there. So then if Balaram's there, he goes, they'll color along joking, laughing, and having a good time. And then Krishna will come back, and then they'll just become better. Right?
That yeah. Particular day,
Balaram didn't come. Oh.
It was his birthday.
Oh, that's right. He didn't come because he couldn't steal it. Right, yeah. And thus the Lord departed. Then, just to examine the potency of Krishna, Lord Brahma took away all the calves and cowherd boys and kept them in a secluded place. When Krishna was unable to find the calves and boys, he could understand that this was a trick performed by Brahma. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, in order to please Lord Brahma, as well as his own associates and their mothers, expanded himself to become the calves and boys, exactly as they were before. In this way, he discovered another pastime. Right? So another, you know, unique flavor. A special feature of this pastime was that the mothers of the cowherd boys thus became more attached to their respective sons, and the cows more attached to their calves. After nearly a year, Baladeva observed that all the cowherd boys and calves were expansions of Krishna. Thus he inquired from Krishna and was informed of what had happened. When one full year had passed, Brahma returned and saw that Krishna was still engaged as usual with his friends and the calves and cows. Then Krishna exhibited all the calves and cowherd boys as four-armed forms of Narayana. Brahma could then understand Krishna's potency, and he was astonished by the pastimes of Krishna, his worshipable Lord. Krishna, however, bestowed his causeless mercy upon Brahma and released him from illusion. Thus, Brahma began to offer prayers to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shlokanusharanam, summary of verses. Verses 1 to 14, the transcendental picnic. Verses 15 to 17, Lord Brahma steals the cowherd boys and calves. Verses 18 to 27, the Vrajavasi's affection increases. Verses 28 to 29, Lord Balaram becomes suspicious. Verses 40 to 64, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma. Verses 1 to 14, the transcendental picnic. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, "O best of devotees, most fortunate Parikit, you have inquired very nicely, for although constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you are perceiving his activities to be newer and newer." Srila Prabhupada comments. Unless one is very advanced in Krishna consciousness, one cannot stick to hearing the pastimes of the Lord constantly. Nityam nava navaya manam. Even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel that these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Because right? Krishna is unlimited, so different, newer and newer aspects are appreciated and seen. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, is addressed as Bhagavatottama, the best of devotees, because unless one is very much elevated in devotional service, one cannot feel ecstasy from hearing more and more and appreciate the topics as ever newer and ever fresh. Mm. Right? So we see is even though he presented himself as the lowest of Kshatriyas, then Sukadeva Goswami refers to him as Bhagavatottama. Out of the devotees, he is the topmost devotee. Because it's always newer and fresher. He wants to hear in more and more detail. Like that. So it's not that it gets old and okay, we've heard about that. But now he finished that pastime and now he wants to hear more about why it's going on that way. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Paramahamsas, devotees who have accepted the essence of life are attached to Krishna in the core of their hearts, and he is the aim of their lives. It is their nature to talk only of Krishna at every moment, as if such topics were newer and newer. They are attached to such topics just as materialists are attached to topics of women and sex." Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Sara Britam means Paramahamsas. The Hamsa, or swan, accepts milk from a mixture of milk and water and rejects the water. Similarly, the nature of persons who have taken to spiritual life and Krishna consciousness, understanding Krishna to be the life and soul of everyone, is that they cannot give up Krishna Katha, or topics about Krishna at any moment. Such Paramahamsas always see Krishna within the core of the heart. Santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Kama, desires, krodha, anger, and bhaya, fear, are always present in the material world. But in the spiritual transcendental world, one can use them for Krishna. Kamam Krishna, kamar pane. The desire of the Paramahamsas, therefore, is to act always for Krishna. Krodham pakya dveshi jane. They use anger against the non-devotees and transform bhaya, or fear, into fear of being deviated from Krishna consciousness. In this way, the life of a Paramahamsa devotee is used entirely for Krishna, just as the life of a person attached to the material world is used simply for women and money. So, we see as Prahlad Maharaj, then when he was asked, is he afraid? Because all the demigods are afraid of him. Mm-hmm. And Prahlad Maharaj says, no, I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of your Maya, right? Yes. He's worried of being deviated from being Krishna conscious. So that's where the fear is. So when they say they're fearless, means they're fearless when it comes to their identity and relationship with Krishna. So they know that no matter what happens, can't be lost. Mm-hmm. But they're fearful of Maya because she's very clever. She's good.
Maharaj, so simultaneously we should be fearful and fearless.
Fearful and fearless. No, fearless means we're fearless. You know, when it comes to the material world, we're fearful just being distracted by Maya. So fearless includes that particular kind of fearful. And when we say that we're fearful, it means material. So, you understand? It means you can use it that to bring it out as a clever point. But then you have to be worried that clever points stick. Right? And then people will be talking about the fearless and the fearful. But it always, Shastra always says, one must become fearless. You understand? No. In other words, there's poetics. You come up with some interesting things and play on words and different things like that, or play in the concepts where the opposites come across. So that's there. But you have to be careful that that doesn't become a standard way of explaining it. Mm-hmm. Right? To say that one becomes fearless and fearful at the same time, you know, so one is endeavoring for the fearless and the fearful. It sounds good. And so if it's used once and never used again, it works. Mm-hmm. Because it's seen within the context of this point. But if it catches because it's a... a catchy phrase, then it gets used in areas where it's not actually the point. You know, it's time to go on Sankirtan. And so, it may be used in the wrong ways. You understand? So you always have to be careful. Is that you have to know when something is, in other words, the fearfulness of Maya is part of the fearlessness because the identity is servant of Krishna. But in the material world, fear is caused by not identifying as a servant of Krishna. So then how do you identify between the two kinds of fear? You know what I'm saying? Because you've said fearless. So then that only leaves fear. So then what fear are we talking about? Does that make sense? Yeah.
And Maharaj, what is the origin of fear?
Fear is the origin of fear is our fear of our relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's the controller and enjoyer. But we're thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer. So there's fear because then that will be lost. Because then that expands as the controller and enjoyer. Then I am this body. Mm-hmm. I am this mentality. I'm the identity I have. So anything that comes along, let's say we identify as that we're doing really well, that some social situation happens, that we may lose our position. We're fearful of that, or fearful of losing the body, or losing things connected with the body. But all that's an extension of that I'm the controller and enjoyer, that I am the body. Right? And so we're actually the underlying, I'm fearful of my relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that's seen in its unfettered state by the impersonalists,
yes.
The Mayavadis, is that fear of that they're God. That's why their position is described as fear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The karmis are described as attachment.
Mm-hmm.
The impersonalists are described as, or the jnanis are described as fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the voidists are described as anger. So that's why you have to gear up these three, because that covers all the materialistic.
Okay.
Like that. You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, in other words, it's all karma and jnana, but anger means you're frustrated with karma and jnana. You still don't have an alternative. You're still using your knowledge want a particular result. So it's just the negative of karma and jnana. I mean, so a karmi means he's positive about his endeavor and results. A jnani is positive about his endeavor and result. The voidist, he doesn't have the confidence that karma or jnana or anything can get him. So therefore, that's why he comes up with nothingness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because for an impersonalist, there's Brahman, so there's something, there's substance.
Mm-hmm.
But for the Buddhist, there's nothingness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then he's thrown out both philosophies. But he's thrown out those two, just like an atheist is still a non-theist.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not a separate category. Technically.
Yes.
He's just
yes.
a non-theist, because
yes.
his whole position of being an atheist, he's against theism.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not like he's against, surfing in Antarctica or something like that. You know, he's against God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, does that make sense?
So, Maharaj, I heard of one very famous monk. He said that his wish is to become a prostitute after the next birth, so that he can see. I mean, even people who cannot approach Buddhism.
How will the prostitute save those who are not approaching Buddhism?
Right.
Yeah, you understand? Here. Just look at it practically.
Yeah.
One is charging by time. Does that guy want to pay money and then hear philosophy?
I didn't mention.
It's not well thought out. In other words,
he said it's not only his wish. All his acharyas, they have such great, wish that next life they become a prostitute to save the.
No, but how is it going to save? How many prostitutes have you heard of saving the world? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, how is it logical?
Logical is the promoter, compassion, and the Bodhisattva compassion.
Yeah, but you can be compassionate without being. Is that the outstanding quality that when someone says prostitute, that's what comes into your mind, is compassionate and kind and saving the world? That's.
I only heard that prostitution bring the money from their job, and then they build temple that lots of people come in that way, indirect way.
No, but when they come in, how are you going to give them God consciousness?
There's a story about a bodhisattva who become a prostitute.
Yeah, but that's one bodhisattva. Did they all become that? Did they all become like that?
Not all of them.
Yeah, so most of them are not.
But he's considered the most exalted, like Guan Yin bodhisattva.
Yeah, but have you ever looked at all the arhats? One of them's got a twig he's poking into his ear and, probably killed himself. And he's making this weird face and everything, and they're all doing strange stuff. You know what I'm saying? So the point is Lord Buddha, it was just about not being attached, not having anything like this, and then you're just supposed to move on. right? Then when you introduced, you know, the tantric element into it, then the tantric element, then as farther you go down to into ignorance, then the more you have this element of sex and other things like that. So then it gets introduced, so then it becomes an attractive thing, because if you say, you know, the, you know, the opposite of the standard, then it makes people think and this and that. So yes, it may be done once as a thing, but that doesn't mean that that's your standard. You know what I'm saying? Like Krishna once comes as a small, you know, as a dwarf. Most, you know, you never hear of that again. But it's done. Yes, it may be done, and showing that in all positions everybody can preach. But the prostitute, how much more the king can has influence, or a great teacher, or, you know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Buddha, he gave a class, right? How many people would come? Thousands, right? And that's on one night. And the next night he could have another class, thousands. How many people can a prostitute deal with in a night? You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, there are other methods to do that wide range.
Yeah, his logic is like that. The people who approach Buddha is somebody who already interested in Buddhism or already practice. Yeah. He would approach to people who have not any interest in Buddhism.
Yeah, but you could also go door to door. You could walk up, knock on their door, and that's why they go begging. No? I'm just not saying that it can't be done, but to take that as an elevated thing and this and that, it's nice, but that's not generally how one would move. You know what I'm saying? That one can do that, like in Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, we'll see one of the examples of the liberated soul is Pingala, a prostitute. Yeah. So we don't have any problem with the prostitute part. It's just one has to be seeing why one's actually dealing in that way. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, one can't just take it because it's far out and it breaks the you know, the status quo, so therefore this is more elevated and that. No, it's just, there may be a mentality, there may be that humility, so then yes, why not? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think his philosophy is like, transcendence, you should not care about morality or...
Yeah, but then you shouldn't care, but that doesn't mean then you go against it either. Because if you don't care, then why would you choose something that's opposite? Because that means you care. In other words, if you don't care about morality, but you're not really going against morality, then he would pray to become a rice farmer in some, you know, weird out-of-the-way place in Mongolia or something. You know what I'm saying? Well, the process is going against. Why is it? It says you don't care. It just as you don't care for, you also don't care against. It has to go both ways. Otherwise, you're caring. No, but the prostitute doesn't care, but she cares about not caring. Right? It's just like this. Take the prostitute, and she cares about morality. And she walks down the street, does she get any customers?
No.
But if she doesn't care about morality, she gets customers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that means she actually has to be conscious of not caring.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the feminine nature, one of them is shyness, elusiveness, contrariness. Where does prostitution come into this? Because that's feminine. Does that make sense? So therefore, prostitute can't maintain a feminine nature and be a prostitute. They have to take up a masculine nature.
Mm.
That's how it works.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So they have to actually be conscious of, you know, doing whatever is considered not proper. So yes, if you can preach to those people and this and that, but the point is, it's not being a prostitute, it's preaching. So if you want to preach in that area, fine. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you can find all kinds of nice things and humble and this and that, but at the same time, is it the most effective way to preach? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay?
Yeah.
But practically, prostitution can preach, isn't it?
Who can preach?
Prostitution can preach Krishna consciousness.
Yes, but if a customer walks into your room and you start preaching, do they stay or do they walk out and go to the next door?
But practically, she can preach.
No, but practically, what customer wants to listen to her preach?
Still, she can be a Krishna consciousness and preach. Even
she can be Krishna conscious, yes. But to preach to the customer, then how is that going to happen?
Perhaps someone.
No, perhaps we can say perhaps you know, all this trouble that's there in the world, and then this this whole herd of whichever color you want to go with, traditionally white, but some prefer pink, and even some like purple. Unicorns will come down, and by the flappings of their wing, they'll, you know, all the global warming and everything will be corrected, and then all the weather will go back to normal, because the weather's normal, people will feel better and less grumpy, and then everybody will deal nicer, and they'll give up all their materialism and all that, you know, hatred towards each other like that, and then you'll have this world without borders and all that, and all glory to the unicorns. You understand? So the point is it's like this. People don't go to a prostitute to be trained in God consciousness. It's not generally on their mind. You know what I'm saying? Just as a standard. You know what I'm saying? And the whole point is that they have limited time. Right? The only time I've heard of prostitutes actually preaching means actual prostitutes preaching is that I forget where it was, but a devotee went, it was during the marathon, and because the prostitute place, their block was right next to the temple. The temple was on one block, they were on the next block, so the devotees, that's the road, so they'd always be walking there. And so then when they'd have leftover prasad at the Sunday feast, they'd take it over and give it to them, because otherwise there's no one else. Because right? People don't go out on the street there, because that's the prostitute's area, right? And so then they liked the devotees. So then I'm not sure how it worked out, but then it was arranged that devotee gave them all books, right? And so after you know their expected arrangements, then they would convince the customers to buy a book, yes. You know, because say it's for charity, you know. And so because it's afterwards, they feel bad, and yeah, they'd want to do something pious. So in this time, he was one of the biggest book distributors in the world. So it's like, you know, like that. So like that you could do, but I don't think that's what they're talking about. Yes, that's there. But I'm saying yes, but at the same time it's only from our perspective that you can make it all right. From their perspective, how do you actually make it all right? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So, does that make sense? Yeah. What is day for the materialistic person is night for the spiritualist. What is very sweet for the materialist, namely women and money, is regarded as poison by the spiritualist. Right? So, just as to that degree of intensity, as the materialist has taken up his material position, to that degree the Paramahamsa, it's even greater that they're absorbed in Krishna and committed to Krishna. So, in other words, the Paramahamsas are committed to love, while the materialist is committed to lust. So that same intensity that people try to gain here, that's available if it's in Krishna consciousness. Yes. But it's much, much greater. But, you know, in comparison here, it looks very great. But in comparison to there, it's not so great. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King, kindly hear me with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord are very confidential, no ordinary man being able to understand them, I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Right? So that means the submissive disciple, someone who acts as the disciple and has that proper attitude, then you can explain the confidential subject matters. Right? Because it's about Krishna. Krishna has to reveal. Then, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agasura, who is death personified, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the river and spoke the following words. My dear friends, just see how this river bank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. Also, here the sands are clean and soft. Therefore, this must be considered the best place for our sporting and pastimes, right? So these are five-year-olds, so they really appreciate the finer things of life. You know? Srila Prabhupada comments. The description of Vrindavan forest as given herewith, as spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago, and the same condition prevailing during the time of the Vaishnavacharyas 300 or 400 years ago, Kujat, Kokila, Hamsa, Sarasa, Dana, Kirne, Mayura, Kule. Vrindavan forest is always filled with the chirping and cooing of birds like cuckoos, Kokila, ducks, Hamsa, cranes, Sarasa, and is also full of peacocks, Mayura, Kule. The same sounds and atmosphere still prevail in the area where our Krishna Balaram temple is situated. Everyone who visits this temple is pleased to hear the chirping of the birds as described here. Kujat Kokila Hamsa Sarasa. Lord Krishna continued, I think we should take our lunch here since we are already hungry because the time is very late. Here the calves may drink water and go slowly here and there and eat the grass. Accepting Lord Krishna's proposal, the cowherd boys allowed the calves to drink water from the river and then tied them to trees where there was green, tender grass. Then the boys opened their baskets of food and began eating with Krishna in great transcendental pleasure. Like the whorl of a lotus surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every one of them was trying to look forward towards Krishna, thinking Krishna might look towards him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest. Footnote 16. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur here assigns verses 5, 6, and 8 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So, that wonderfulness of the forest of Vrindavan, how it manifests so nice for Krishna's pleasure, then that is the aspect of that exchange of love between Krishna and the forest of Vrindavan, and then that nice atmosphere that has been made for Krishna and the cowherd boys to enjoy, then how they all sit together with Krishna and then interact nicely with Krishna in the center, and everyone's trying to interact with Krishna. So this perfection like this, then that's this manifestation of the, you know, more of further dimensions of this love for Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, here is the description of the arrangement for eating. The boys sat in lines on all sides of Krishna. The boys sat facing him. Abhyananaha. Because of love, they all wanted to face Krishna. By his sarvasankalpa shakti, it was achieved. And Krishna's face and limbs appeared in all directions at once. So sarva sankalpa means whatever his determination is, then that happens, right? Yes. Sankalpa is a determination. This is what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Right? So sarva sankalpa means whatever Krishna desires, it happens. So Krishna sat down, and all the boys sat in lines around him, but everybody was facing Krishna. Right? Because Krishna, by that potency, then could be facing all the boys at once. So each boy is thinking, Krishna is facing in my direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Thus, each boy thought, I am sitting on the nearest row facing Krishna. Others are sitting at a distance with their backs or sides to Krishna. This illustrates the Vedic verse, Sarvatav pani padam tat sarvato shiro mukha. Everywhere are his hands and feet, eyes and heads, mouth and ears. Right, so the Purusha Shukta is pointing out this, the Upanishads point this out. Saha upavishtaha means that they sat with no spaces between them. They sat in rows around Krishna like lotus petals surrounding the center of the lotus, center of the flower. So they're all sitting there, but each one thought, I'm the one in the first row. And I'm the one facing. Even though they may be farther back, they were thinking, I'm serving, facing Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Krishna's arrangement. So that's why this is all, part of that unlimited dimensions of love. Because they all wanted to deal with Krishna like this, and so Krishna then interacted with this.
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada adds, to a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Sandasadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, and as indicated by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvata Pani Padam Tat Sarvato Chi Shiro Mukham. If by accumulating pious activities, Krita Punya Punjaha, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service. Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful in transcendental bliss. The present Krishna conscious movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's the point. So where Krishna is the center, that's what the nice part. Where Krishna is not, that will be a weakness. So then we're trying to make Krishna the center of that part also, not throw everything out.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, because of this, then that's going wrong. No, it's because Krishna is not the center. We do that, Krishna becomes the center, it becomes very beautiful. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, among the cowherd boys, some placed their lunch on flowers, some on leaves, fruits or bunches of leaves, some actually in their baskets, some on the bark of trees, and some on rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. Right? So they just, that's the thing, they just make everything into their plates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All the cowherd boys enjoyed their lunch with Krishna, showing one another the different tastes of the different varieties of preparations they had brought from home. Tasting one another's preparations, they began to laugh and make one another laugh. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, tasting a little of the different items brought from their houses, the boys would then call out to their friends, O friend, Krishna, Sridhama, Subala, see how tasty my bada is. Saying this, they would take from their plates and make Krishna and the others eat. This is the meaning, ruchim darshayanta. Stuffing some jasmine flower in the bada, while no one was looking, a boy would say, oh friends, please taste these nice badas. Believing his statement, they would take his food and eat it. When they started making faces because of the bitterness, the giver would laugh and make the receiver laugh. Cha indicates that the giver would get playfully beaten and run away. So all these things would happen. Right? So they would laugh, but then they would, you know, harass each other. You know, it's just the way they have to do it. They just have to harass. Right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. You know, I understand bodas? Right? It means you take sometimes ground grains or vegetables or different things, sweet, the different thing, it just means basically some kind of roundish shape that's been deep fried. It can be salty, it can be sweet, it can, you know, all these different things. You can do a lot of things with it, so. Therefore, and, you know, yes. So it'll be a popular thing. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Krishna is Yajna Bhuk. That is, he eats only offerings of yajna. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his thigh cloth on his right side, and with his horn, bugle, and cow-driving stick on his left, holding in his hand a very nice preparation of yogurt and rice, with pieces of suitable fruit between his fingers. He sat like the whirl of a lotus flower, looking forward towards all his friends, personally joking with them and creating jubilant laughter among them as he ate. At that time, the denizens of heaven were watching, struck with wonder at how the personality of Godhead, who eats only in yajna, was now eating with his friends in the forest. Srila Prabhupada comments, when Krishna was eating with his cowherd boyfriends, a certain bumblebee came there to take part in the eating. Thus Krishna joked, why have you come to disturb my Brahmin friend Madhu Mangal? You want to kill a Brahmana? This is not good. All the boys would laugh and enjoy, speaking such joking words while eating. Right? So it's all in line with the culture. So it's that, you know, it's doing, so they're doing things. They're doing all these nice things, but it's all very refined and cultured. But it's still, it's playful because they're joking. That, you know, it's here, you're taking something out of context and making fun on that and doing the different things. Yeah. Thus, the, oh, okay. Okay. Referring to this verse in the Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 255, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, when Lord Krishna enjoys...
We have skipped three statements.
Thus the inhabitants of the higher planets were astonished at how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who eats only when yajna is offered, was now eating like an ordinary child with his friends in the forest. We didn't already read that?
Same, actually, in the translation also similar.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's why, because I saw it here and thought, oh, we read that. Okay. Yes, that's why. Uh-oh. Yes. Referring to this verse, in the Priti Sandarbha Anucheda 255, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, when Lord Krishna enjoys a pastime as a Kshatriya at Mathura and Dwarka, the Surit friends are more numerous. When Krishna enjoys pastimes as a Gopa, the Saka friends are more numerous. For these Surit friends, Lord Krishna's pastimes as a heroic warrior and other pastimes are prominent. For the Gopa Saka friends, Lord Krishna's pastimes of joking, singing, conversing, calling the cows, playing the flute, showing artistic skill, and other pastimes are prominent. Right? So remember that both of these kind of friends were there. Where did they describe those? Because it gave the two groups. So one was more formal, like more senior.
In the last chapter.
Oh, the last chapter. Yeah. And the other was more kind of just, you know, intimate like that. So in Vrindavan, those intimate aspects are more prominent. While in Vrindavan, in Dwarka and Mathura, then these kind of more formal mood or, you know, benefiting Krishna is more prominent, right? Because the Surits, then they're always the well-wisher, right? Like that, they're always trying to make it all happen. While the others, then, it's just they're having a nice time with Krishna.
The inhabitants of the higher planet, they all see the pastime of Krishna?
That means they can see it, they go and look. It's not like they're sitting there within their heart and they're sitting in the clouds and watching. So they can watch, so they get all that benefit. So that's the whole point when Krishna comes and performs his pastime. It's good for the whole universe. It's nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, so especially Krishna, it means all the pastimes will be special, but especially as Swayam Krishna, then they're even more sweet and special. That's why they're always so amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because let us say, in that time, so we're in the 28th, cycle of the Mahayugas,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's going to be 28 out of 71.
Yes.
So that means they've seen 27 other times of Krishna performing pastimes, but it wasn't Swayam Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
it would be Vaikuntha Krishna. So it will be nice that it's about the Lord, so it's always going to be fabulous. But the sweetness of it, then that is going to be amazing, and how he goes about it in that human-like way as Krishna and Braj. So that will be unique. So even they're amazed. And at the same time, like I said before, because the pastimes are always ever fresh. Therefore, seeing them, you know, 71 times in their lifetime is not going to be a problem. So that's the advantage of the demigods, that they can go into the clouds and see, while the demons are underneath, so they don't even know what time it is, so they will not be aware of these things. Right? The demons don't see the passing of time. Like that. That's what they want. Because the point is humans, they know time is passing, so then they perform their religious duties, they try to be God conscious, while the demons, for them, passing of time is an annoyance. So they want to avoid that. So therefore Krishna arranges it, that they're in a position where they don't see the passing of time. So for them, this won't be an important thing to them.
These two groups, you know, the Surat and the Sakha, so they have appreciation for each other regarding the pastimes.
They're all friends. They're all friends. They're all friends of Krishna. It's just two different groups.
Yeah, two different groups. But one is in...
No, one is more prominent in Dwarka and one is more prominent in Braj. Both groups are there in both pastimes. It's just that there's going to be the more prominence of Krishna in this, like here, joking, singing, conversing. Do you know where those are mentioned before in the previous chapter? Anyone knows that? Yes.
Why the demons don't see the passing of time? Sun or
there's no sun.
Oh, there's no sun.
Yeah, because they're below Bhumandala. So Bhumandala blocks, so there's no sun. Because Bhumandala goes practically out to the edge of the universe. So absolutely no sun goes down there. So the Nagas living on Patala and then, I'm not sure, Vitala or some of those. Yeah, but they're on two of them. So I think they're on the bottom one, or the second, third from the bottom, and then they're on the second from the top, or something like that. And the jewels on their heads, that creates the light, that's what lights up. Because the Bhumandala is very big, but the amount of space of the talas are only, I think, 10,000 yojanas, so they're not actually so big. So if any light that comes out there, it'll light all those planetary systems. So they're always lit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, permanently being in a mall or something. You know, it never changes. Whether you go there at 10 in the morning or 10 at night, it's exactly the same experience. So that's what they want. It's arranged for sense gratification, and so therefore, then they don't see the passing of time. So just whenever they want, they eat whenever they want, they sleep whenever, you know, so it doesn't matter. You know, they get together whenever they want, they, you know, like that.
Page
26. Okay, so Jiva Goswami and Preeti Sandarbha, 261. Now other features of Sakya Rasa will be considered. Amongst the Anubhavas are the Udbhasvaras, external symptoms of ecstasy. Among the Suhrit, well-wishing friends, the Udbhavsvaras include attempts to bring limitless good fortune to Krishna. Discussion of what is proper and improper, right? Because you see here with the other group, the Shakas, then he's using chala and they're joking and playing on words and like this. While here it's more of a formal, you know, what's the proper thing to do because you'll get benefit. Smiling conversations. Right, instead of right, just outrageously laughing, right? And other like activities. While the Sakha friends, the Udbhasvaras, include activities on unwavering affection, activities like various playful games, singing, artistic skill, eating together, sitting down together, taking naps, and other like pastimes. Telling jokes, hearing descriptions of confidential pastimes, and other like activities are also included here. Right, so we see is that Vrindavan has more of this Shakha. Right? Like that. You generally always refer to them, the Shakas. Like that. Not that Surits aren't there, but generally they'll be in the kind of older cowherd boys who protect Krishna, take care, make sure everything's right like that. So they'll be the lesser, and then the shakas will be the major. While in Vrindavan, it'll be the other way around. There'll be very few that just laugh and joke and everything with Krishna. And more will be that kind of, you know, for working for Krishna's benefit, like you see Uddhava and like this. Yeah?
So Uddhava is in the Surat.
It would appear so. But we shall see when we get there.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.